The University of Alaska held its first public meeting on a proposed timber sale in the Haynesboro, and Skagway's cruise ship dock gets an infrastructure boost from a local company. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more up next. A marijuana retail store is getting closer to reality in Haynes. The Assembly voted 5-1 Tuesday to issue a statement of non-objection that Wintergreens LLC be issued a license to operate. That is, if a land use permit is received and other borough requirements are met. The motion passed 5-1 with Brenda Josephson opposed. Josephson took issue with the location of the prospective store. It's situated opposite the cruise ship dock, where visitors are walking off ships and entering the community. The business is still waiting for state licensing. Last year, two rock slides came down right beside Skagway's largest cruise ship dock. The slides drew attention to a potential safety issue and motivated a local company to upgrade its infrastructure. KHNS's Abby Collins visited the dock at the start of this year's cruise ship season.
There it is.
White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad official Tyler Rose is pointing to a large net secured to a steep cliff adjacent Skagway's railroad dock. White Pass owns the dock that sits next to the slide-prone area. In the summer, cruise ships pull up to the dock and visitors walk from the boats into town.
As you look up and down the entirety of the valley, there's quite a few of these gullies and slides. It's just one of the risks within the area, but because there is exposure and the time frame where people will be in this area, that's why the original net was put into place and why we've now made the upgrades to put this into place is because of the traffic and people through there.
Last August, after a period of heavy rain, the cliffside slid. At the time, a smaller net installed in the early 1990s was in place. It did its job, though some debris made it onto the dock. White Pass had the area assessed, and the dock was determined safe for continued use. But after more rain, a second slide occurred in early September.
With the fall on September 5th, it overcame the existing net that was there that was slightly lower and not nearly as large. That net was about 6 to 7 feet, and this is 35 feet tall.
After the September slide, White Pass had a geotechnical assessment done. They determined this new, much larger structure was the best way forward.
The design behind it is so that it can take the shock of the rocks and then comes into the fence and drops down into the catchment basin below it.
Rose says in his more than 15 years with White Pass, the September slide was the largest he's seen in this particular area.
The mass of material came all the way almost up to the dock, so we had an excavator down here digging out and then had a crane lifting out the material and clearing it out of here so that it broke free. And you can see over here on the pipe where the pipe was struck, and then we'll be replacing these rails. They're being galvanized and put into place, but those were the two areas of the strike.
In addition to the new net, the company installed survey markers, allowing it to monitor movement on the mountainside. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Abby Collins.
The University of Alaska hosted its first public meeting Wednesday to discuss the potential sale of 13,000 acres of timber throughout the Haynes Borough. Partners from the Divisions of Forestry, Alaska's Mental Health Trust, and the U.S. Forest Service were on hand to help explain the nature of the university's sale. The university first announced the negotiated sale in March. It aims to harvest 150 million board feet over 10 years and generate $10 million. This meeting was a chance for Chilkat Valley residents to speak directly with UA. It had originally been organized into two parts. First, there would be an overview by the university and its partner organizations, followed by an informal breakout session where personnel could answer questions in smaller discussion groups. This format had been contested by the Haynes Borough Assembly. The Assembly took issue with questions being answered in small groups as opposed to the public at large. Wednesday's meeting in the Chilkat Center started as planned with short presentations in the auditorium from each of the representatives in attendance. The University of Alaska's Chief Facilities and Lands Officer, Christine Klein, explained that the university is selling the land because it relies heavily on timber sales to stay afloat.
Those limited assets, lands and resources, have generated $210 million that make up the university's entire endowment. A majority of that has come from timber.
Chris Mache from the Division of Forestry and Wynne Menifee from the Alaska Mental Health Trust explained their organization's role in the sale. Right now, only the university is planning to sell parcels for timber development. However, all of these entities own land in the Haynesboro, and they will be coordinating forest management and infrastructure development related to the sale. Once the opening comments concluded, Haynes residents asked that the panel of representatives take questions directly from the audience. The panel agreed to that request before moving to the lobby to answer questions individually. Concerns were raised about parcels owned by the universities that are close to residential areas. The university's regional resource manager, Patrick Kelly, stated it is unclear exactly which areas will be logged.
Yes, there are parcels that are close to downtown that are being looked at under this process. Will they be logged? Like it was referred to earlier, this is an iterative process and we're at the initial stage of looking at it.
When asked about the type of logging that would take place, Mache said that it would be a mix of clear-cut logging, shelterwood, and patch cut, depending on the size of the unit and the type and quality of the timber. Others took issue with the public process. Local author and photographer Kathleen Menke believed that the community deserves an environmental impact analysis and more time to learn about the plan.
What's being proposed is on a huge scale, and we're being asked to comment on something where we haven't seen a cost-benefit analysis, not just for your benefit, but our costs. And we need time to talk with our borough assembly and our commercial fishermen.
Mache responded that while the university is engaging in a conversation with the community, they do not have the same obligation as other public institutions to produce such extensive analysis as an environmental impact statement.
By law, they're not required to do the same levels of analysis that other public agencies have to do, and that's because they were set up to monetize the assets that were given for their trusts. So that's why there's a difference. Now, that doesn't mean you still can't have a conversation to try and get the best benefit for these types of projects.
After an hour of questions in the auditorium, the breakout sessions began. The public was able to look at maps of the university's land in Haynes and speak with the representatives about their specific concerns. The University of Alaska is accepting public comments on the sale until May 22nd at 5 p.m. Comments can be sent to ua-land@alaska.edu. For KHNS News, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.